First edition here on WEAA 88.9. I'm Sean Yoes, your host. Thank you for joining us for our first of 2 hours on this Tuesday. Coming up in the second hour of the show, we will talk about, well, first of all, it feels like the summer only began, but actually it's about to end, and that means young people are going to be going back to school, to college in particular. The issue of financial aid is one that is ubiquitous in the minds of students and their families. We're going to break down the do's and don'ts, ins and outs of applying for financial aid with two financial aid professionals coming up in the second hour of the program, talking about aid programs, eligibility requirements, scholarships, grants, the whole nine. So if you are a student or the parent or guardian of a student, you do not miss that conversation. Also in the second hour, we will talk to Randy Weingarten. She's president of the American Federation of Teachers, talking about public school education imperiled in the age of Trump. There's a report that has been published by the NAACP that speaks to that in some way. We'll get to that conversation as well. That's coming up in the second hour of the show. But in the first hour, we're going to talk about this controversy sparked by a conversation, a debate between Ravens great Ray Lewis and Fox Sports commentator and former football great Shannon. Before we start that conversation, I want to let you all know to make sure to follow us on Twitter at First Edition 88.9, and don't forget to like and follow us on Facebook at First Edition on WEAA 88.9 FM. Go to WEAA.org on our homepage for the latest podcast of First Edition, or subscribe to our iTunes podcast, First Edition. Also, hit me up on my personal Twitter account. The tag is at Sean Yoes. That is my name, S-E-A-N-Y-O-E-S. Or go to my Facebook page. If you have information, insight, or breaking news you want to share with me, I'll share it with the people, unless you don't want me to, and of course, I won't. Now, let's get this conversation about Ray Lewis, Shannon Sharpe, and the implications that go far beyond football. Joining me for this segment is Perry Green. He is the Afro's sports editor. Uncle Perry, good to hear your voice again.
What's up, yo?
And we're also joined by Marvin McKenstry. He is a minister, and he penned an open letter to Ray Lewis. Minister McKenstry, thank you for joining us, sir.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. This is where I'm going to start. I'm going to start by reading part of this letter Minister McKenstry penned in reaction to some of the comments that Ray Lewis made is connected to the Colin Kaepernick controversy, but other comments as well that he's made in the past. The letter says, "Brother Ray Lewis, first, congratulations on the work that Power 52 is doing. I know some of the brothers, it's repositioned, and I appreciate you for it. This and other things that you do to help people of Baltimore make an undeniable contribution, yet it does not make you anything more than any other person who have the same notoriety as you, making an attempt to give back. There are a few things I hope that, with all due respect, you would understand if you have the opportunity to read this message. I was at Simmons Memorial Church when you came to discuss community jobs with people who live ground zero where the Baltimore Uprising occurred. While I somewhat understood your disgust with people focusing on your celebrity, your Bill Cosby-like rant against those people who will never know what it's like to live as you and your family will for generations due to the very unique opportunities afforded to you by playing a sport at the highest level possible was way overboard. I have watched you use your platform to call out the black community repeatedly, often crossing the thin line between righteous indignation and self-righteousness." So you start out, Minister McKenstry, by acknowledging the good works that Ray Lewis does. But on more than one occasion, Ray has spoken out to the chagrin of many people in the black community.
Because I want to be clear that I love Brother Ray. I love what he attempts to do, and I really, really feel as though I have a clear understanding of his intentions. And I think that he really means well, and I don't think that Ray really gets the disconnect where there is a line to be drawn in the sand. And I think that that's easy. That's an easy line to cross when you have Ray's platform and you have the opportunities that Ray has and you have the love of the people in the city of Baltimore, and you have his testimony, because we're very clear that Ray has been subject to the justice system itself, right, even as a young NFL football player. And I celebrate Ray. I celebrated Ray. I'm a second chancer myself. I celebrated Ray as he made his change, his transformation, when he began to acknowledge Christ. I celebrate all of that, but there's a line, and I really believe that Ray just doesn't understand that line. So the piece today wasn't to attack his character, wasn't to attack him as the man that he intends to be, but to just let Ray know that there's a little bit more work that Ray needs to do before he can speak tangibly with any connectivity about the real struggles that go on in Baltimore.
Okay. Peregrine, beyond, when we're going to get to the controversy, the kind of the debate between Ray Lewis and Shannon Sharpe on the air in a moment, but beyond the controversy of that goes beyond football, quite frankly, can Colin Kaepernick just, on a basic level, help the Baltimore Ravens? Let's just get that out of the way before we even get to the controversy. Given the situation that the Ravens find themselves in with Joe Flacco ailing, his back ailing.
Well, actually, it's funny that you bring that up, Yus, because I think that's the one aspect of this whole topic that we kind of seem to brush over a lot, is can he actually help? And we try to make it so simple, black and white. Is he a better quarterback than whoever the Ravens have as backup right now? And it's not that simple. And I don't think that does justice to Colin Kaepernick, because I think you would know, as an avid football fan and any avid NFL follower, someone that knows the game and is familiar with watching quarterbacks play and watching quarterbacks struggle, if you're not in the right system, it doesn't matter how talented you are. You can have a great arm. You can be one of the best athletes to ever play the position. But if the tools are not around you that fits what you do best, then you may not succeed. So a lot of times I've seen during this topic is he better than Ryan Mallett? Ryan Mallett is the current backup quarterback for the Baltimore Ravens.
Right.
I think if you put them side by side, you'd say, yeah, I would say Colin Kaepernick any day and any night. But has Colin Kaepernick spent 2 years
in this system? Right.
No, he hasn't. So he would get in the system. It would be a whole different jargon that would be used, different terminology we use, different plays that we have to learn. It'd be different pieces, different players around him that he would have to build some type of chemistry, timing, especially when you play the quarterback position with passing the football. And I think that's always been one of Colin Kaepernick's weaknesses, is his timing when he throws the ball. He's a great player, great football player when it comes to throwing the football. I think he's accurate. I think he has a good, strong arm. It's the timing with his receivers. So if you put him on a whole new football team and he doesn't have any experience with these receivers, how do you think his timing is going to be? So I don't think that you just put him on the Ravens or you put him on any of the 32 NFL football teams and you think he's just going to succeed. I think we'd all be disappointed in watching that, because I don't think it would be just that. It's not just black and white. It's a whole lot that goes to it.
Understood.
But it's definitely not just football related when it comes to why he's not getting hired. We all know that, y'all.
Absolutely. We're going to get to that in a minute. But let's listen to Ray talk about whether or not Colin Kaepernick is a fit for the Baltimore Ravens. Let's listen to that.
This ain't the first time. Shannon knows this from the history of what I do in Baltimore since I was playing. Me, Steve, Ozzy, we have conversations about whoever. And the bottom line, you think about two topics here. The bottom line is, can he help us win? That's the bottom line. And so when you get away from all this other whatever everybody else wants to talk about, like I told Steve, I said, Steve, you got to ask, this is what we're asking ourselves right now. How bad is Joe hurt? How soon does Joe come back? And does Colin Kaepernick help us right now? Because if he don't help us, then what are we doing? That's like bringing in a third running back, but you got two running backs already there. Nah. And so I think that's where we started to really, because we both agree, like, and I've said this many a times, we both agree, like, what he did, I'm 100% for racial injustice. 100%. Trust me, right? I lived it myself. So you don't.
So that was Ray Lewis commenting on whether or not Colin Kaepernick can actually help the Baltimore Ravens. But in his comments, it seemed he was being very careful to stay or keep it, or rather to try to create the context of football, when in reality we understand that the dynamics connected to Colin Kaepernick coming to the Baltimore Ravens or not are connected to volatile political dynamics as well. While we get our second clip ready to listen to, Perry, you're right. This isn't just a black and white issue, even though it comes down to an issue of race, pardon the pun. And that was at the core of this discussion, this debate between Shannon Sharpe and Ray Lewis. But Minister McKinstry, this is not the first time that Ray Lewis, as you penned in your letter, this is not the first time that Ray Lewis has tapped or stepped into kind of treacherous waters, and oftentimes connected to issues of race and class in America.
No, it's not the first time at all. And Ray has spoken pretty boldly. And one of the things that gets me is, just like in that last clip that you played, he's always conscious to never speak in depth about his own situation. Right. He'll mention briefly, yeah, I know racial injustice, or I know about police brutality, I've been subject, but he never goes into, he never uses himself to kind of forward any views that he has concerning that topic. But he'll go into such great detail, even in the interview, and I'm sure you'll probably get to it, talking about the current murder count in Baltimore. Right. And I just think that, you know, I'm a person myself. I share me, you know, whether it's preaching the gospel, whether it's working with the youth in Baltimore City, in my job or in the community work that I do. I know that I'm an expert on Marvin before I'm an expert on anything else. And I just don't see that from Ray. I see Ray trying to, you know, he tries to be a political analyst at times. Brother, you're a football player. You know, you can probably talk X's and O's on a level. I wouldn't try to entertain the conversation that you're having with our expert who's on the phone with us right now about Colin Kaepernick's qualifications.
Right.
I can only speak as a fan, but when it comes down to anything to do with social injustice or anything, he speaks as a spectator the same way I would trying to speak as it pertains to, football
right.
and the X's and O's of football. And my charge to Ray is, brother, just simply understand that and stop looking to cross that line, and he does it very deliberately.
Hmm.
But again, he's always very careful and cognizant to not cross that line by having any great in-depth discussion, because I'm certain that that's a can of worms he doesn't want to reopen.
Right.
You know, he doesn't want to entertain that conversation. Well, I remember when it happened 20 years ago, Shannon Sharpe stepping up and speaking on Ray's behalf, and Ray sat silently and allowed somebody to speak for him, but that person spoke with compassion. He spoke pretty much talked down the media that wanted to attack Ray, and now Ray has pretty much become the very attacker that Shannon Sharpe protected him from.
It's a fascinating dynamic, given the fact that the two were teammates, and you're right. Shannon did come to his defense when he was facing those serious charges. Go ahead, Perry.
No, I just want to, I mean,
Perry, your phone is going in and out badly, man. We need to try to work on that connection. While we do that, I want to mention, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to First Edition here on WEAA 88.9. I'm Sean Yoes, your host. I'm on the phone with Minister Marvin McKinstry. He's minister at the Victory House of Worship in West Baltimore. He's also a youth advocate. He penned an open letter to Ray Lewis in response to what Ray said about Colin Kaepernick recently. I'm also on the phone with Perry Green. He's the sports editor for the Baltimore Afro-American newspaper and a recurring guest on the NWA Sports Report here on First Edition. This is what we're going to do. We're going to play that clip that I've been talking about, that clip where Ray Lewis and Shannon Sharpe debate about football, and then the debate goes into race relations and law enforcement.
Special question.
Yeah.
You happen to be there.
Mm-hmm.
When they brought Dante Stallworth in, he was driving under the influence and killed a pedestrian.
Mm-hmm.
Did Steve talk to fans, sponsors, and you?
Yeah, actually.
So he talked to you on that one.
Yeah.
Okay, when Suggs had his incident with his wife, did Steve Bisciotti talk to fans, sponsors, and you?
Talk to me for sure.
Okay. So that's 3 for 3. So Dante's situation.
There's no issue since I was playing that has not been discussed with either me, Steve, me, Ozzy, me, John.
Okay.
It's never changed. And that's what I'm saying. I don't want to give any more merit because of his Colin Kaepernick to say, oh, why did they call? You know what I'm saying? Nah.
I'm not surprised because I know you're one of the few players that's not a quarterback that's held in regard like teams look at a John Elway or teams look at a Dan Marino. That's why you have a stadium, a statue outside the stadium. But see, when I listen to Steve talk, he says, I like how he went from sitting to kneeling, but he never mentioned why Colin Kaepernick kneeled. Now, the very thing that Colin Kaepernick was protesting is the very thing that President Trump encouraged on Friday, which was police brutality. Now, Steve Bisciotti owned that team, and in 2015, you were there. You and I talked about it. Something happened to Freddie Gray. He lost his life for police brutality. I have yet to hear an owner talk about that. I have yet to hear Steve Bisciotti talk about that.
I know, but let's be very careful with that for this simple reason. Right now, there's over 200 plus murders in Baltimore. How many people you got talking about that? Nobody. So I'm just saying, before you put somebody in a pickle to say...
No, I'm not putting him in a pickle, Ray. Okay, let me ask you this. When Pookie shoots a Willie, they find Pookie. Where Pookie going? He going to jail. When these police shoot these unarmed black men and women, even on camera, where they going, Ray? Back on the force.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about. We're talking about the police brutality. See, what they're trying to do is that when we talk about police brutality, they're talking about Chicago, they're talking about Detroit, they're talking about Baltimore. Okay. You want me to come up with a solution that you helped put me in.
I 100% understand what you're saying. And what I'm trying to tell you is there's no issue with what you're talking about with police brutality. We're sitting here as men.
Yeah.
So let's understand this. We're sitting here as men. And me and you, as men, ourselves, not watch nobody else deal with police brutality. I lived it.
Oh, I know.
So understand that. Just understand the dynamic of what we're talking about. I'm not talking about if this person stood out. It's not too many people. Say it for what it is. It ain't too many people going to stand up to go into black neighborhoods and worry about black folks killing themselves. That's factual. Yeah. So sooner or later, then we figure that out, then we're going to start taking care of ourselves. So when I started to understand these things, Shay, what I started to...
So that was a prolonged clip between an exchange between Ray Lewis, the former Raven, and Shannon Sharp, the Fox Sports commentator, that went from football into police brutality, a subject obviously we talk about often, law enforcement reform often on First Edition, and it's a subject that is being talked about all across this nation. Uncle Perry, there is what we talk about. It's not a black and white issue. There's a reason, and we spoke about this on the NWA Sports Report. The primary reason, at least in the minds of many people, and I would say in my mind, that Colin Kaepernick doesn't have a job is because he has taken a knee in protest of many things in this country, but specifically police brutality aimed at black people. And the reality is that every owner in the NFL is a rich white man, and those rich white men have a very distinct political opinion and view. And those views are not in alignment in any way, shape, or form with the political views of Colin Kaepernick.
I mean, that's absolutely correct. And isn't that just the owners? I mean, it's the owner's sponsors.
Right.
You know, it's the people that's pouring money into the league. You know, so, and I understand there are a ton of black people that's pouring money into the league. But, I mean, you know, those corporate sponsors, their owners are white Americans as well. So, I mean... And I think Steve Bisciotti actually spoke on that when he was given his logic, when he was asked what his logic behind the discussion of bringing in Colin Kaepernick. You know, but what I was trying to say before I started having a little bit of breakup there was that, I've said it on the NWA Sports Report with you 1,000 times, Ray Lewis, he speaks passionately. But a lot of times, I mean, the dude is speaking, and I mean, he's not saying anything. And, you know, so, I mean, and a lot of times he gets invited into these political discussions. I don't think that he actually wants any parts of it. I think he's asked what's his opinion. And then a lot of times he shows, you know, just how smart he really is. And he doesn't really have much to offer to this arena. You know, so I'm not surprised that he got up big. Shannon speaks eloquently when it comes to politics. You know, and he's actually interested in that. I have a personal story. Back in 2008, our first year with the Afro, you know, I'm covering the Baltimore Ravens. I'm there in the Ravens locker room. I had a story that I wanted to put out, Yosef. It was about the players on the team, who they were voting for. Are they voting for Barack Obama? This was before he was the president.
Right.
Okay? This was before a lot of people thought he was actually going to win it.
Right.
Okay, we had our hearts in it. We wanted him to do it. But a lot of people wasn't sold, Yosef.
True.
Okay, and so I wanted to get the vibe of the locker room. All those black brothers in the locker room, I wanted to find out what they felt. And Dirk Mason gave me some great quotes. Terrell Suggs told me, who you think I'm voting for? You know I'm voting for Obama. I asked Ray Lewis. Ray Lewis said, come on, kid. You know I'm not answering that.
Hmm.
And smiled and walked away.
Hmm.
I mean, and that just goes to, I mean, the great William Roden wrote a great novel, The $40 Million Slave.
Right.
And a chapter in that novel, he was talking about not rocking the conveyor belt. That's what a lot of African-American pro athletes, celebrity athletes, high-profile athletes from our community, they don't want to rock the conveyor belt on their way to the top. I don't think Ray Lewis wanted to do it. I still don't think he wants to do it. I know he has heavy ties with the Baltimore Ravens, with Steve Bisciotti. And you know what? Look, Shannon Sharpe has done the same thing that Ray Lewis has done. Because, I mean, I remember Shannon Sharpe. He works at Fox Sports 1, yo.
Right.
One of his colleagues, Colin Cowherd, he's been extremely critical of John Wall of the Washington Wizards. He's racially antagonized John Wall every single year since this dude entered the draft. As recently as the playoffs, he brought back up quotes saying that he doesn't believe John Wall could be a franchise player because he believes John Wall didn't have a father figure growing up, and that's going to affect how he can be a leader.
Right.
I mean, this dude has been racially antagonizing Wall for years to the point that some of his own white peers had to come in and check him. Chris Miller of Comcast Sportsnet just flat out went off on him after Game 6 against the Boston Celtics in the Eastern Conference semifinals.
Well, Perry, this is what we're going to do. This is what we're going to do. We got to take a quick break. Can you go into the next segment for a little while?
No problem.
Okay. Minister McKinstry, can you go into the next segment for a little while?
Oh, yeah, I'm with you.
Okay, stand by. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to continue the conversation about Ray Lewis, Shannon Sharpe, race, law enforcement, and football. And we'll take your phone calls. We'll get to Oscar. We'll get to Ernest. We'll get to Leo. We'll get to Roger. So hang on. Don't hang up. We'll get to your phone calls. Stay tuned. You're listening to First Edition. Welcome back to First Edition here on WEAA 88.9. I'm Sean Yose, your host, as we continue the conversation about Ray Lewis's controversial comments in an exchange with Fox Sports commentator and former NFL great Shannon Sharpe. Both teammates, ironic that this, you know, they were both teammates on the Baltimore Ravens when they first won the first championship for the Baltimore Ravens. The comments are connected not just to whether or not Colin Kaepernick is fit to be a backup for the Baltimore Ravens, but the comments delve into the areas of race and law enforcement as well. On the phone, I have Perry Green. He's sports editor for the Baltimore Afro-American newspaper. Minister Marvin McKinstry is also with us. He's minister at the Victory House of Worship in West Baltimore. He's also a youth advocate, and he penned an open letter to Ray Lewis recently. And coming into the studio with me is Andre Melton, Dr. Dre. He's founder and producer of the sports podcast, The Flex Zone. Dre, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Sean.
Of course. So we listened to that elongated clip that exchange between Shannon Sharpe and Ray Lewis, and it was compelling to me because it really felt like two brothers in as much as you could be unfiltered on a talk show, talking about very sensitive issues. But let's be clear, this isn't the first time that Ray Lewis has delved into these kind of treacherous waters. I mean, we saw Ray Lewis and Jim Brown emerging from Trump Tower as the 45th president soon after he took office. We've seen these video clips of Ray speaking about black on black crime and what it means and what black people should do. So he's been in these controversial waters before, Minister McKinstry. Is it your contention that just Ray maybe should just stick with football and not attempt to commentate on some of these issues that are a little trickier, I guess, is the question.
That is partly my contention. My contention with Ray is there's an arrogance that you have when you take yourself as a former NFL football player and motivational speaker, if that's what he classifies himself as, or an NFL analyst, to go talk to Donald Trump like we don't have a congressional black caucus and, other great political minds that would be much more qualified to sit in that meeting. I don't want Ray to attempt to speak intimately on these issues. I don't want Ray to sit himself down to carry a counter argument. If the topic, to come full circle to the current murder rate and what people need to be doing about the murder rate, even to go into detail to talk about who's going into the community, Ray's speaking engagement at a high school is not the community work that I do 6 days a week. Ray's his rant on his Periscope or his Facebook Live or whatever it is, whatever other avenues he uses to try to put his voice out there, the once in a blue that he shows up somewhere or the programs, that's not the grassroots boots on the ground community work. And I think Ray has taken a lot of his own leadway into a depth of conversation and representing himself as somebody to have the ability, or that should have the ability, to take such leeway or to be in that depth of the conversation. And it's just not the case. If Ray is a former Baltimore Raven that is talking the way Shannon is talking from a perspective of what we know the news has reported. Ray attempts to talk as though he's boots on the ground in Baltimore and has any sense of understanding what the struggle is, whether it's the people who are deeply involved in the struggle or those who are trying to work to combat the issues and assist or help the people that are in the struggle. Having a program that's pretty much based on your platform or your status does not give you those qualifications. And I just want Ray to understand that. I think what Ray really does is he takes himself from, and again, not to assassinate his character or anything or to insult him, but he takes himself out of what he can speak intelligently about into a realm the way he makes himself seem very uninformed. He makes himself seem like he's reaching to try to sound deep, when really, if he stick to the X's and O's of the football field or just the general conversation and the topics of things that we know, you talking Colin Kaepernick and race comes up, talk about the brother taking the knee, talk about how that made Steve Bisciotti feel, because you didn't give us any of what Steve Bisciotti felt. You didn't give us any of what John Harbaugh felt. And we know that they look at you as that you talk about, they always call me in for every discussion because they feel as though you're the one that can go out before the people and calm your people down. Mm. You're the one that can go and sell whatever their decision is to the people. And this time when you did it, you ran into Shannon Sharpe, and people have had enough of you being this pawn in their game, Ray. It's time for you to really understand who you are and how you're being used.
And I think it's another interesting point of this. Is that if I'm not mistaken, Ray, as you said, Minister, he's very quick to comment on issues that are out beyond the realm of football, beyond X's and O's. But I believe the next clip that we have shows or will show Ray suggesting Colin Kaepernick should kind of be quiet about some of his political views. Let's listen to that, and we'll talk on the other side of it.
how crazy is I'm just leaving set at Fox and got all of these texts and stuff about all of this Colin Kaepernick stuff and all this stuff. Let me explain something to you guys, all right? I'm going to be very simple with this. While a bunch of people are talking about this man, Cap, let me tell you something, brother. I pray for you more than you ever can imagine, all right? Your name is in my Bible. That God gives you the vision that you did. I applaud you for the things that you stood up for. My brother, everybody else can speak for you, but until you speak for yourself and demand what you want to do in life, it's totally on you. But it's almost crazy that you see people always trying to respond. Let me tell you something, my man. I've made mistakes in my life, but I promise you, if you look at my track record, the mistakes I've made, I've never repeated twice. You understand? And so what I want to tell you is, from man to man, brother, I ain't got nothing against you. I wish you the best in life. I hope you chase whatever God got for you to chase, all right? And once again, I applaud what you stood up for, because I'm in the streets every day. So while people talking about what this and why Ray said this, why said that, Ray ain't saying nothing. And if people really want to help you, if they really want to help you, man, they'll pray for you, brother. Alright, they'll lead you the right way and stop encouraging you to be caught up in some of this nonsense. The battles you fighting, brother, people way before has been fighting these for many, many, many years. And that's why I take each and every one of these kids, and that's why I take them away from their environments and give them something else to see in life. And that's why I played the way I played. The football field is our sanctuary. If you do nothing else, young man, get back on the football field and let your play speak for itself. And what you do off the field, don't let too many people know, because they're going to judge you anyway, no matter what you do, no matter if it's good or bad. All right? Cap, be good. Take care of yourself. Brother for life. A lot of people talking for you. A lot of
people. Yo, so that was Ray Lewis. That was Ray Lewis in his own, in his convoluted way. Speaking and saying whatever it was he was speaking and saying, it's not abundantly clear to me what he was trying to say, but it's a problem. It's a problem. And let's talk football for a minute before I open up the phone lines. Look, Ray is possibly the greatest middle linebacker to ever play the game. Maybe I don't personally, as an objective Ravens observer, personally. The greatest Raven in my mind is Ed Reed, but that's just my opinion. So there's that. But when it comes down to these issues of race and law enforcement, and there is an arrogance that I hear in Ray's voice, listening to that clip, that is unfortunate. I'll say that. I'm gonna ask you, Dre, as a younger hold tight 1 second, Perry. But as a younger cat. You know, it's interesting. I hear a lot of you guys on the NWA Sports Report, you're getting more politically acclimated, it seems. But when you hear Ray speaking with kind of a duplicitous way, saying one thing and kind of twisting back and forth, what do you think about that?
I mean, for one, Ray Lewis, he seems to have an issue with staying on topic, because he went from Colin Kaepernick and how it should be about football to his stance. And like they were saying before, he didn't talk about what that meeting really went like. How is the coach thinking? How is the GM thinking? What is the owner thinking? He didn't really go in depth into that. And it's like almost like he doesn't want to. He's not addressing what Colin actually stood up for.
It's almost like he's getting caught up in the sound of his own voice.
It is, and I mean, to me, when you were saying about the greatest Ravens, I mean Ray Lewis, without a shadow of a doubt, one of the greatest Ravens to ever play, and also to me, the greatest motivator in all of sports that I've ever heard. I mean, somebody that grew up watching Ray Lewis play, and then to see him. I mean, it's one thing to have a player advisor, but I mean, this guy, like, I mean, maybe we can bring somebody else in, because he doesn't seem to be the guy right now to lead the Ravens and to kind of take that player aspect right now. You know, they're talking about what maybe Ray Lewis being that voice for the locker room, but I mean, he right now is I'm not sure about if Ray Lewis should be that guy. Maybe we bring in somebody, like you said, a Ed Reed, or somebody who's in the locker room like a Terrell Suggs, because I think that the Ravens locker room is probably one of the best fits for Colin Kaepernick. I can't think of too many cities, locker rooms that would be behind him the way that the Ravens, and I think that that locker room that is perfect actually for him. But you also see the owner who kind of is like, dibbling, dabbling on the fence about bringing in Colin Kaepernick. Either you're going to bring him in or you're not going to bring him in. We've seen people, right, no matter what their issues are, if you can play, you can play.
Well, and the Ravens locker room is one that has had players who have had checkered past, including Ray Lewis. And it does seem incredibly hypocritical for some to suggest that Colin Kaepernick, because of his political stance, shouldn't play with Ray. Uncle Perry, I think you were trying to get into to say something a minute ago.
I'm just saying, you guys sound like what I've been trying to tell you, yo. So
about,
I mean,
Ray,
I remember you telling me that, I mean, you feel like this is the greatest leader of all sports.
When it comes to X's and O's. When it comes to X's and O's.
No, because that's not about X's and O's. Men. You know, and Dre even mentioned it about motivating men. But I mean, when Joe Flacco said years ago that he doesn't even understand half the things that Ray Lewis says during those motivational speeches. Y'all looked at him like he was crazy. And now we hear it because he's a commentator for a living. We all hear that he can speak with a lot of enthusiasm in his voice, but a lot of times he's just saying nothing. Yeah. You know, so, I mean, this is the last person that I would actually want to hear speak on anything politically. I think they invited him on Fox Sports 1 already because he's already a paid employee of theirs, but because he has ties with the Ravens organization, and they thought that maybe they can bring an insider in that would be able to add some depth towards the discussions,
right,
that the Ravens press is having with Colin Kaepernick and maybe his agent about him coming in. And, of course, Ray Lewis, it probably isn't privy to any of that. I'm sure he may have conversations as being a family member of the Ravens organization, but Ozzie Newsom isn't calling him up and asking him what does he think about scouting advice on players or anything. You know, so, I mean, I think we are just getting the reality check when it comes to that. But like I said, I know even though Shannon Sharp came down hard on Ray Lewis, he understands what Ray Lewis is doing when he's almost, in a sense, protecting Steve Bisciotti, who he has ties with. Because I've seen Shannon Sharp protect a white colleague of his own recently. Like I was speaking, Colin Cowherd has racially antagonized John Wall for years. And when he was asked directly, Shannon Sharp was asked directly, what do you got to say about this? I mean, what do you got to say? This is your own colleague that's this having racial cracks at John Wall. And he said, I'm not speaking on that, and you know why. Hmm. So, I mean, he can decide that he wants to stand silent on certain racial topics, and he can understand when another brother does it.
Right.
And we can all understand what it takes to tell somebody, hey, look, sometimes you may want to keep your head down and rise yourself up to the top until you're getting in position where you can actually make some real changes.
Okay.
You know, so, I mean, because, like I said, I have, when people tell me to cut my hair, I wore dreadlocks for 10 years, yo.
Yeah, you did.
And people told me to cut my hair when it comes to other avenues of trying to make money. And I may never had to cut my hair to work for the Afro, but that's a black-owned organization.
Right.
All these other organizations, they may have something to say about that.
Right.
So, I mean, countless brothers from all different ranges have told me, you probably need to cut your hair, dude. So what's that about?
Right.
So, I mean, we can't all just sit and act like we don't know the type of advice that Michael Vick or even Ray Lewis, in both of them, aren't eloquent speakers. So they may not know how to get exactly the thought that they're trying to get across. But we know what they're talking about.
Right, we do know. And if you're just tuning in, you're listening to First Edition here on WEAA 88.9. I'm Sean Yoes, your host. We're talking about Ray Lewis and his thoughts on Colin Kaepernick and race and law enforcement. There was a debate on Fox Sports station, or it was what's it, the show called?
Undisputed.
It was a debate between Ray and Fox Sports commentator Shannon Sharp that delved into the areas of race and politics and went beyond football. I'm on the phone with Perry Green, sports editor for the Afro. Marv McKentry Jr. is the minister at Victory House of Worship in West Baltimore. He's also a youth advocate. He penned a letter, an open letter, to Ray Lewis. Andre Melton is in the studio. He's founder and producer of the sports podcast, The Flex Zone. Now let's take some phone calls. People have been waiting patiently. Let's go to Oscar first. Oscar, you're on First Edition. How you doing?
Fine. Good evening to you.
Good evening, bro.
Yes. First of all, I feel sorry for Ray. Ray's been compromised. He had to say what they want him to say. We got to remember, there's two dead people laying on the street. Nobody was found guilty. Nobody went to jail for that. So Ray has to say what, but he told a lie when he said 200 people killed in Baltimore. Nobody, he says, talking about it. Boy. Well, they talk about it to nauseam. That's all people talk about it. And you have it all the time on your show, Sean. People talking about the murders in Baltimore. So why would he say something like that? And then he says that they call him and consult with him when about all matters. So that's not true either. They signed a quarterback from the Arena Football League. They didn't talk to Ray about that. They talked to Ray about Kaepernick because what they're trying to say, will the fans of Baltimore accept this man? And Ray Lewis is coming there. Whatever Ray was saying, and like your previous guest said, nobody know what Ray is saying. Honest to God, I hear Ray talk sometimes. Say, what is this brother saying? He's just talking because he has, and he talked about the 200 murders, and nobody's talking about it. And Shannon Sharp answered him beautifully. And we need to do more of that. People keep saying, somebody get killed in Baltimore City, nobody say nothing about it. As Shannon said, if Pookie killed Willie, Pookie's going to jail, and the police department, they will call that a twofer. One dead, one going to jail. So people do talk about it, Ray. And Ray just try to stick to football. He have a hard time explaining that.
All right, Oscar. All right.
Yeah, he did get fired from his analyst position.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he did at ESPN.
But I kind of echo what the brother is saying. I understand the compromise. I just think that, you know, there's somebody, you know, Shannon was the perfect mentor when Ray was in trouble.
True.
You know, who is that True. Voice that Ray will respect enough now to kind of, you know, sit down and realize who he is? He's a pawn in their game. The Bashotti and Harbaugh and them call him because if there's anybody that can make what we need to say or what we plan to do palatable or make it, to me, I believe they had no intention on bringing Kaepernick onto the team. And if we want to make it look like we really intended on doing something, let's bring in Ray. Because, you know, Ray kind of validates our process.
Right.
No, we're not accepting that anymore. You know what I mean? And somebody's got to love Ray enough, and we got to find who is mentor enough to Ray to really be able to let Ray know who he really is in the eyes of these people that he reveres and he respects, which is in that league and in that game.
And, Minister, I think the person that I would have said is a mentor to Ray Lewis wound up walking out of Trump Tower with him. That was Jim Brown. I almost passed out. I couldn't believe it. Jim Brown, the man who has been one of the great black advocates for decades in the United States.
Yeah, but, you know, when you lack in spotlight for a long time, these guys live at a level and on a platform where weekly, you know, for 6 months of a year, you in every conversation.
Yeah.
And now we're talking about Jim Brown, who's been retired for God knows how long.
Yes,
Hollywood ain't called him. He's got no press anywhere. Ray is sitting at home. He lost his gig where he was still on TV, and he ain't nobody really turns. The first chance I get to get back in that spotlight that I crave and I covet, I'm going to jump out there.
Yeah.
So I kind of understand some of the dynamic of what keeps pushing them into the limelight. I just, you know, I want somebody to love these brothers enough or people, you know, what we see now is people who are really raising up and say, nah, we're not having it anymore.
Right.
Ray, you're going to do something different, Ray.
Right.
We will render your voice so null and void, and you will see so much pushback. I really pray that Ray gets a glimpse of the open letter that was written, that Ray, somebody would record this show and let Ray hear what people think. And God knows the kind of ego you got to have to do that.
Right.
I pray that somebody or something would penetrate that enough that Ray can understand that Ray's going to find himself. He's already a polarizing figure in the world anyway. There's some people that still want to label him a murderer.
That's,
you know, and there's some people who have chose to love him,
right.
And Ray is choosing to step on the people that have chose to love him.
Let's take some more phone calls. Let's go to Ernest in Baltimore. Ernest, you're on First Edition. How you doing?
Thank you for taking my call.
Of course.
And good evening to your guests. Before I start, I want to say this. It's a reason why Jim Brown, who was throwing white women off the balcony and never went to jail, never was indicted.
Well, that's true.
You ever thought about that?
Not a lot, but it's
okay,
true.
But
it's definitely
happening. Let's get to Ray Lewis. Well, Ray Lewis, if he looks at YouTube, he'll know what black people think about him. They're calling him every kind of name in the book. First of all, police brutality, what he's talking about, is when him and the two other young men that was with him was involved in an altercation and two people were stabbed to death. And so, what do you think? The police are just going to let you go? They're locking everybody. They locked everybody up that was involved in that. They thought was involved. And Ray turned state evidence against the two people that was with him. And he was found guilty of obstruction of justice. But he turned state's evidence. He snitched on the other two guys, although they were found not guilty. Ray also was supposed to be a good friend of the other Ray.
Ray
Rice. Went through his situation.
Right.
He told everybody the truth.
All right.
But in the end, Ray Lewis said that he's a terrible individual and he shouldn't be let back on the Ravens.
All right, thank you, Ernest. Let's go to Brother Leo Burroughs in Bolton Hill. Brother Burroughs, you're on First Edition. How you doing?
Well, good evening, everybody. Ray Lewis knows that he's allowing himself to be used and he doesn't mind, apparently. He is the quintessential Clarence Thomas type Negro, in my judgment.
Wow.
He's pandering to the interests of the white supremacists in our society. Colin Kaepernick is an outstanding quarterback, and Ray Lewis has a right to his opinion. I will say that Steve Bisciotti made the right move when he gave $1.5 million to the Renaissance Academy.
Absolutely true.
I applaud that move, but we cannot allow Ray Lewis or any other so-called prominent Negro to divide and conquer our people on this issue. We've got to hold to a hard line on our liberation and our freedom with regard to what we're faced with in this country.
Right.
Police brutality and continuing racism.
All right, Brother Burroughs, thank you. Let's go to Roger in Baltimore. Roger, you're on First Edition. How you doing?
Hey, how you doing, man?
All right, brother.
Man, listen. Okay, we're going to talk just a little bit about sports icons.
Okay.
I can't let you, Pastor, do that to the great Jim Brown, but he's all the work he's done, we got to go before the
I know that.
Done.
I
work.
Know that.
Oh, I can't let you all do that to him.
I Jim agree Brown, with what you're saying.
Jim Brown was the one that went on with Muhammad Ali when not
yes.
everybody else went against him.
Yes, he did.
You only got Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Arthur Ashe, and those type of people. We ain't talking about the Michael Jordan and
I know.
The Ray Lewis and none
agree.
Of them.
I
Ray
agree.
Ray Lewis is a quintessential coon. Cone okay. train is coming.
Okay, Roger. Thank you.
I mean, it doesn't change the fact that Jim Brown was there alongside of Ray Lewis.
Walking out of Trump Tower speaking for black America.
And we keep talking about Shannon Sharpe, but I mean, also Skip Bayless brought up a good point when he was saying that, why are we bringing in people like Ryan Mallett? Why are we bringing in people like RG3 when the numbers show that Colin Kaepernick is more than deserving of not only a starting job, but maybe of the backup job?
Well, Mallett's been there for 2 years, though. So they're not bringing in Ryan Mallett. They brought in some campy arms, okay? Those guys are not going to be on the team.
Right.
So if they're going to treat Colin Kaepernick like a camp arm, I'd rather them not sign him at all.
Hold tight, Perry. Let me take a couple more calls. We don't have that much time left. Let's go to Melissa in Baltimore. Melissa, you're on First Edition. How you doing?
Hi, I'm doing well, thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to say that it is super sad where Ray Lewis stands right now. I feel that he could very well be in a worse situation had he not had grace and mercy. I mean, he was supposed to go down with the other two guys, and they would have crucified him because he was a star, okay? And for him to, it's like he completely forgot that people actually started believing him again. I mean, we could have completely turned our backs on him, and now it's like he's turning his back on black folk. I'm so disgusted with him. His arrogance, like he's so arrogant that he stopped learning, and that's why he stands where he is.
Melissa, thank you for your call. Let's take one more call. Let's go to Clarence in Baltimore. Clarence, you're on First Edition. How you doing?
I'm fine. Thank you, Sean. Thanks for taking the call. I'd just like to remind Ray, if you're listening, this is the United States of Dr. Kevorkian, and Baltimore City is just one of those clinics run by it. Thank you.
Not sure what that means, but Clarence, thank you. Let me go to Rob in Baltimore. Rob, you're on First Edition. How you doing?
Good evening, listeners and panel.
Yes.
Couple of things. Everybody's comparing Ray Lewis's past. Remember Kennedy and Chappaquiddick.
Okay.
Second of all, Ray, Rob, don't speak too much because we're going to put you in the same Jamal Bryant category. So be cool, brother.
All right, Rob. Thank you. Let's take Joseph real quick. Joseph, you're on First Edition. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, Sean. How's everything going, man?
We're doing all right.
Cool. I was just going to say that I think Colin Kaepernick would serve the interests of Baltimore City, especially because I'm not even a Ravens fan. I'm a Redskins fan. Wow. However, I just believe that he would serve the interests of Baltimore City, especially in the time that we're in politically.
Yes.
And just the ability that he has to control his own environment, man. So. That's all I just wanted to add to the conversation. Thank you for bringing it up, man.
Of course, Joseph. Thank you for a very cogent comment. I think that's a perfect way to actually end this conversation. The reality is what Colin Kaepernick symbolizes beyond being a football player is a man who's standing up for injustice in the United States, whether you like him or not, he is. And that would be something that would be serve us well in the city of Baltimore. I want to thank my guest, Uncle Perry Green, the sports editor for the Baltimore Afro-American newspaper. Perry, thank you, brother. We appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Minister Marvin McKenstry is minister at Victory House of Worship in West Baltimore, also a youth advocate, penned an open letter to Ray Lewis. Minister McKenstry, thank you for your time, brother.
Thank you very much for having me, Sean.
Of course. And Dr. Dre, founder and producer of the sports podcast, The Flex Zone. Dre, thank you, man. Appreciate you.
Thank you for the opportunity, Sean.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, the second hour of First Edition, including financial aid information that every student and family needs. Stay tuned. You're listening to First Edition.